We would like to look now at three aspects of the cross. And we begin with Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew 3:15. Then Colossians 3 and verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Then the first epistle to John and chapter 3 and verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. First epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 8. The cross was not an end in itself. It was God's means of producing the church. The church was to come forth from the sufferings and death of our Lord, as the woman Eve, bride of Adam, came forth from his broken body during a deep sleep. Now in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15 we see the Godward aspect of the cross. We often forget or do not realize that the first work of the cross was to secure the rights of God in righteousness, to secure the glory of God. No divine purpose could come into being without having a basis in righteousness. God's eternal thought was that the church was the church, but the church could not be built on any ground but that of righteousness. Thus, before our Lord began his ministry, he came first to be baptized of John in the river Jordan. John would have refused him, but the Lord said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. This had to be settled first, and the essence of righteousness is a total abandonment and obedience to the will of God. An illustration of this is seen in Abraham's offering of Isaac. It was the noblest act of Abraham's life. Take now thy son, said God to him, and offer him for a burnt offering. Genesis 22 and verse 2. No furnace was ever so hot, but Abraham neither questioned, nor argued, nor held back. He rose early to obey. Therefore said God, because thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Genesis 22, 16 and 17. When our Lord came into this world, he did so saying, I come to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10, verse 9. I delight to do thy will. Psalm 40, verse 8. Not my will, but thine be done. Luke 22, verse 42. And that was absolute abandonment to the will of God. But in God's mind was the cross. Why? Because only through the cross could all unrighteousness be removed and the ground cleared for God to erect a new building, a holy temple of regenerate souls. Thus, through the cross, God obtained his rights in righteousness, which could only be obtained by the utter removal of all unrighteousness. That would include God's abandonment, which is the ultimate fruit of unrighteousness. Hence the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27, verse 46. That swept the ground clean and gave God a site, so to speak, upon which he could build his church. Then secondly, we see the manward aspect of the cross. The Lord also could only build his church with righteous material. The church could never be composed of man as he is by nature. Man is utterly unrighteous. We have only to look within to find that sad plague. We are lost property to God. Sin has stripped us naked of all righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse 10. That old man, as he is called, can have no place in the church of God's building. But God has sent forth his Son, that through his sufferings and death upon the cross, there may be a removal of all unrighteousness from believing man. Man must stand at that cross in total self-abandonment and abhor himself as a lost, ruined, and guilty sinner. He has no power to help himself. By faith he looks upward to Christ as Savior. There he sees healing for his soul. In the Lord have I righteousness, he says, believingly. He comes to God then with an unanswerable plea, that is, in Christ my Savior, my law-abiding surety, I bring the righteousness of God. And God accepts him. He has put on Christ. He is seen as righteous in Christ. He is material for the building of God's church. Then thirdly, we see the Satanward aspect of the cross. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There is such a being as the devil. He is not an empty name, but a mighty power. He is the prince of this world, who has enslaved all mankind, and whose sway is universal. All are his bond slaves, and none can free themselves. He is the god of this age, and sets up every system of idolatry to draw worship away from God. The cross brought utter defeat to this evil one. Seeing our Lord in physical weakness on the cross, he flung all the forces of hell at him, hoping to overwhelm him. But the Lord, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that is, in his cross. Colossians 2 and 15. The cross undoes the work of Satan. It removes all the ground of Satan's further work. He can do nothing on God's ground. The cross deprives him of that. Thus the church is built on safe ground against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. Listen to the words of Mr. Kettlewell. Resting, O Christ, in thee, safe, safe in thee, finished thy work for me on Calvary, so by thy blood secured and by thy word assured, I rest in thee. When thou wast crucified, Lord, 'twas for me. When thou didst die, I died, risen in thee. The life that now I live is life which thou dost give by faith to me. Trustingly, day by day, I walk with thee, thy presence all the way refresheth me. The Spirit through the word revealeth thee, dear Lord, continually. Upheld by thy rich grace, Lord, I would fill just the appointed place that thou dost will. Contented there abide, nor doubt whate'er betide, but trust thee still. Amen and amen.